You are listening to episode number 274 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now with less old people.
Episode of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, aka the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is my editor in chief, but he's not really my editor. He's my editor in bitch, Mr. Ooh. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
You know, I should really start investing in a shotgun axe like Mac from the Superior Show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has, just for such an occasion of being called the bitch boy, because I really feel like it would come in handy right now.
You know, what's funny is that is Powers your last name? Is Powers actually your last name?
It is legitimately my last name, yes.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Brian, are you a member of Power Pack? You do have a mother and a sister, so I'm just saying one more. You know, you got the whole squad. Which are you, Jack or Alex?
Oh, my God.
And the man who is laughing like he's the Mad Titan himself, ladies and gentlemen, Taser Taser, welcome back to the show.
I don't care what they say, there's no way that Cap is palming my hand. Okay, it's not happening.
I'm trying. Thought you didn't watch the trailer.
I've seen too many pictures on Facebook, okay? That's how I know what happens.
Okay.
I'm trying to grab the shield, I'm not trying to punch him. You people are stupid. Stupid!
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening, first of all, thank you. We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel related. So let's kick off with some comic book stuff, with some new number ones. First off, coming up first is that for the first time in quite a while, I want to say it's been quite a while, Dazzler will be getting a solo series. It's set to release this June. It's going to be written by Eisner-nominated writer Magdalene Viziago.
Wait a minute, didn't they already do Gem and the Holograms?
Yeah, it's actually I think IDW is publishing that like weekly.
Yeah,
not weekly,
so,
like.
So I'm saying, since you already had a movie.
Nobody talks about that movie's bad. I had to watch that movie.
I forgot that was even a movie.
Yeah, that made guy.
How did
movie.
You remember that of all things, Taser?
Because
honestly.
I was a huge fan of the cartoon. I'm not even, and I read the comic. I'm not gonna lie. I was.
Oh, you should. You should.
Truly, truly outrageous.
I can. I am manly enough that I can say that.
I don't know if manly is the word. Confident, sure, but manly.
Hey, if you want me to get even scarier, I'll sing the theme song.
No. No. All right. And also, she'll be joined by Laura Braga, who has been the artist on Captain Marvel and Superior Iron Man and did some issues of Punisher. So, yeah, Dazzler's just coming back. There's not much information. It's called Dazzler Exxon. X-Song,
which is a stupid fucking subtitle for a fucking book.
Dazzler, X. Wax On, Wax Off? What was that?
Why does everything need an X in front of it? Like, I get branding, but honestly, just like...
Just Dazzler number one.
Yeah!
Well, like, anybody who's going to read this as a comic fan has probably heard of Dazzler, unless you're one of those new comic fans who has read the comics all 5 minutes and you don't understand who Dazzler is. Because
I mean, she is a bit of a novelty character in the sense of, you know, where
she
came
awesome,
from.
She's awesome, though. She shoots out lights when she dances.
She's okay. She
fought Galactus, damn it, and won, didn't she?
She knocked out Black Bolt.
I don't fucking know.
She knocked out Black Bolt.
Which was bullshit. Do we have to go back to this right now? Because I will fight a motherfucker. Oh,
look,
my God.
The point is, a new Dazzler comic is coming. I'm not going to read it because I've just never... I prefer Dazzler in, like, when she's part of solo and part of team books. But, you know,
yeah, I can agree
happy
with
for Dazzler fans. I'm pretty sure Marvel will demote it to a 6-issue miniseries at some point. Okay, next, anything you guys want to say about Dazzler number one? Dazzler X-Song?
I hope we get to see Dark Dazzler. You know, that period where she was all goth and with the black
is
hair
that a
and
thing?
Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that was a face. Was that like Kieran Gillian's X-Men? I think it was, wasn't it, Brian?
What, where she went goth? No, that was Bendis's lauded run on the fucking
title.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was John's a Bendis decision.
Guy. Yeah, Bendis. There we go.
Yeesh.
So, yeah, John's going to read that now.
I honestly hope that whenever they get around to canceling this series, they call the last story arc Dead as Disco, because that would just make my fucking day.
But she's not even disco anymore. She's just like pop iteration in general.
She's
all right,
a
so,
happy. Yay.
Yeah, she's a pop artist. She's Katy Perry. Or Katy Perry is Dazzler. Whatever.
There it is right there. She's Katy Perry.
Yeah. Okay, next up is apparently Marvel will be ending the all-new Wolverine book that's been headed as Laura McKinney since Logan died. And they'll be ending it, and she'll be getting new X-23 number one. I'm salty about this.
I am also salty about this. Want to be salty together?
Yes, yeah, be salty together. Great, so this is going to be written by Mariko Tamaki. She was the writer behind the She-Hulk series that debuted last year, the one dealing with her with Jennifer
PTSD and trauma.
Yeah, she's a very good. So like nothing against her, and she'll be joined by Elektra artist Juan Cabal. Let's see what the interview says. This is a story about being in the very kind of weird family that someone like Laura accidentally finds herself in. It's about what it means to wrestle with legacy and identity when you're created to be a weapon, not someone who is a birthday or sister. So it's pretty much just talk, nothing really much, just generic.
I do have a question though, so much as obviously Tom Taylor is not continuing the title, which is a shame because I would have liked to see him continue on, but I guess he's busy with X-Men Red or whatever the hell else.
Well, yeah, and Laura is still going to be in that book, hopefully with Honey Badger. So
that was my other question: what happens to Honey Badger in that case? Because she's become, you know, basically her sidekick or partner, however you want to characterize it. And so even though she's going back to X-23, doesn't mean you dismantle everything that was established, because this has been a really top-notch run of Wolverine's titles, you know, I thought, and it's been endless fun to watch and to read, and I think Laura provides a fresh perspective on that, and so I really hope they don't just dismantle everything. You know, they can give her back the X-23, but I hope they keep some of the elements that Tom Taylor's managed to work in, because he did a fantastic job with the series more than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, if you read a book for so long, you think at some point, well, okay, I've had enough. I've never felt like I've had enough with the book. I've always enjoyed it. You know, there were highs and lows for sure, but I thought every time it was fun. And introducing Gabriella, now AKA Honey Badger, it's just been like the greatest thing ever. And I feel like only Tom Taylor should write her, cause he just nails that sense of wit. I don't know. I'm just kind of mad, like, because I feel like the only reason this is happening is because Logan's back, and Logan's gonna want to possibly resume his mantle as Wolverine with the classic yellow and blue costume. And I'm like, why? I mean, granted, Laura hasn't worn the yellow and blue costume in a while, but she was still known as the Wolverine. And it's kind of a shame on Marvel, because she was never presented as the forefront, right? You never saw Laura's Wolverine as like on posters or in events or anything like that. She was never part of any of that. It's kind of stupid. Like, she's Wolverine. She's your Wolverine.
She was basically promoted as, hey, it's a new Wolverine. And then once that series started, she kind of fell away from the spotlight. Granted, she was in a decent smattering of books. I mean, she was in Wolverine. She was in the X-Men, the teen book that was going on for a little while there. She was over there. You know, and obviously now she's in X-Men Red. But, yeah, she was never really one of those forefront characters. You know, which is really kind of a waste when you think about
You know, maybe it possibly could be that, you know, the fans didn't take all that well to her being the new Wolverine.
It's been 40 issues. I mean,
it was a decent 40 run. Issues.
It just happened to carry that long. But, you know,
in today's comic market where most Marvel comics don't last 12, I want to say it caught on. Yeah, so it caught on clearly.
No,
so
it hung in there. Let's call it that. It hung in there. I'm just saying. Come on, it hung in there. You know, that's like saying.
I wouldn't say that at all. I would say that it clearly found its fan base. Otherwise, it would have been canceled after the second year. Hanging in there would have mean it would have stayed for another year. It's gonna hit 40. 40 issues, is, especially how Marvel is fucking cancel happy, well, they would have ended it.
Point there.
Exactly.
I think Marvel left it there because they wanted to keep a Wolverine title out, you know, in print.
They had Old Man Logan for that, though.
Yeah,
so then
they weren't going to call him that. He's Old Man Logan. You know, right. That's how. That's what they know him as. That's what they would have to retitle the book, and they didn't want to retitle the book to be Old Man Logan. You know, they wanted Wolverine, and they figured, you know, they'd get the, girls and the guys who, you know, are enamored with Laura, and, you know, there would be that big audience. And I'm not saying the book, you know, didn't fail to sell. It sold, but it didn't sell what they wanted. It just kind of sold enough to hang in there, you know?
Well, a lot of books do that.
Exactly, like, and that's what this book was. That's all this book did. It hung in there. But, you know, I think they probably figured, yeah, it's about time. Let's bring his ass back. Bam, there you go.
Yeah, fuck that. All right. I'm salty. I'm just salty because I've got.
I'm also salty.
I like this run of Wolverine. Like, you know, I like Logan. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, man,
Logan's been in the spotlight for how many fucking decades? Yeah.
Like
they
should.
He's earned it. Don't you dare.
No, he hasn't.
What they should have done is like they should have kept Logan. Logan obviously has been through shit. Like he was encased in adamantium, and they should have just canceled old man Logan because I'm pretty sure that's gonna be canceled at some point. And just
they're not gonna keep him around with young Logan kicking around.
Exactly.
Too. Really?
Just call him.
They didn't have two Cyclops running around.
But they didn't have two books,
Scott Summers pretty shortly after that happened.
Scott was around for like two years at least.
But there weren't two different books called Cyclops.
There was one book called Cyclops.
That was a miniseries.
And it was about Cyclops in space.
Nobody read that. Nobody cares about that.
West cares about it. I don't know if we care about him, but
he doesn't listen to the show, I don't think.
Yes, he does.
But my point is that they should have canceled Old Man Logan, give Logan, just call it Logan, and just have him like offshoot adventures without.
Ooh, you know what they could have done? They could have made him fucking Ronin or Nomad or something. Just give him something else to do.
Don't be stupid. Well, you're overthinking it. They should have just fucking put him in a leather, like put him in fucking jean shorts and a wife beater, and just have him out of the fucking earth,
dude. Give him the Kevin Smith jorts, hockey jersey, backwards hat. Boom, done. I would read the shit out of that fucking Super Canuck Wolverine. I would read the shit out of that.
The point is, it's a travesty that Laura is being demoted, because she shouldn't be demoted. I'm interested to see how they explain why she just stopped being Wolverine, but I guess we have to wait to find out.
Because her brother's back.
Not her brother, it's her father. Anyways, let's move on.
Daddy's home.
We got some Luke Cage casting news. Yeah. Annabelle Sikora has been cast as the villain in Sikora, whatever.
Sikora.
It's a fucking Italian ass last name. I don't know what you want me to tell me.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Emmy nominated Sopranos actress. She will be joining Luke Cage in season 2. No word of who she is playing.
They announced who she's playing.
Who the fuck is she playing then? Because the article's not clear.
Sciorra's character is named Rosalie Carbone. She plays, described as, quote, a dangerous downtown criminal underworld power player with an eye and an agenda toward Harlem. So she's going to gentrify
the neighborhood, basically.
I think she's trying to make it more into, like, Spanish Harlem, I guess. I mean, that's just...
They should have just named her Lady Magia. That would have been more interesting. That would have been cool.
Actually. Well, maybe it's a code name or something. I mean, it's not like anybody, you know, not like they haven't done that before, which they very easily could. And besides, this will probably end up in some sort of turf war with her and Black Mariah. So I don't know how that's gonna.
Oh yeah, Black Mariah's still a thing.
Yeah, she's still around. Her and Shades. You know.
That's
cool. Dude, I fucking love Shades. I love that dude since Sons of Anarchy, man. He's great. Yeah.
Not much to talk about there. I was hoping she was. I think we were hoping she was Mon-Nucci, but whatever.
I have a feeling Mon-Nucci will show up with the next Punisher series. I mean, I would think, you know.
That would actually have been cool if they crossed over villains like that. That would have been something. You know, you wouldn't. They wouldn't have to actually go through the, her introduction in Punisher 2 because they already introduced her in Cage 2, and she survived whatever the fuck went on there, and just move her right on into, you know, whatever they do with Frank Castle. I think that would have been an awesome idea, but you know they're not gonna do that.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, let's move on to the final bit of news, which is a little trailer came out for a movie.
Did it?
A little indie movie that's coming out this April called Infinity War. You may not have heard of it. It's starring a couple of unknown actors like Chris Hemsworth.
It's making the festival circuit. It's getting some buzz. You know.
Yeah. Not going to be an Oscar winner, but it's going to be a pretty entertaining film.
Holy shit! It was so fucking good.
We're not gonna go into specifics because Taser is not seeing it because
Taser, tailor our suits.
We're not gonna talk about certain scenes just because Taser has refused is not gonna see it because, to quote him, it has his money.
No, wait, hold on. I can bow out of this section. And you guys just
No, it's fine. It's fine because really talking about like going over it is like it doesn't do it justice. It's just I'll say this. Watching it was like, remember when that first Avengers trailer came out and we were like, it's really happening. It's like we already had a trailer before, right? We had the one in what was it? November? December?
I don't want to say even January. Fuck.
Possibly January. It was before the Super Bowl for sure. Because then we got that 30-second spot. It was even more so. I feel like this is the true trailer where it was like, oh my god, it's happening. There's certain interactions that happen. I have a feeling they want to fucking toy with the fans' emotions based on certain scenes.
Oh yeah.
Namely me. Leave Doctor Strange alone, you sons of bitches. He's got a second movie to prepare for.
Leave Doctor Strange alone.
So what you're saying is it was jizz in my pants worthy.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
There you go.
I've watched this trailer like 100 times already. I can't get over it. Like, it's awesome. It's great. It shows just enough, but it's not spoilery. Like, that's the beautiful part of it.
Really?
That's like, there's a lot of like... Like, you know, if you pause it, you're going to notice stuff, obviously. I haven't done that. I've just had it on repeat. But
I am so excited for the Black Order, too, because they looked phenomenal.
Yeah, they show one member of the Black Order. They show Ebony Maw, who looks hella creepy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I am so excited for Ebony Maw.
Yeah. But, like, literally, like, it's all new footage, too. I think there's, like, maybe one or two shots that are from the first one. But for the most part, it's all new stuff. I think the only thing that's kind of spoiler is Iron Man's new armor. Like, that's the most spoiler about it. But I don't care because I mean, every movie Tony Stark has a new armor. So that's not really a spoiler. Like, and they show just enough of it. There's enough of the character actions, but it's just like this movie needs to be 5 hours long. Just like I'm this person. You did this. I did this. You know, just that. Just that.
The character interaction between Tony and Star-Lord is something where I'm like, oh, that's gonna boil over.
And I feel like that's just a small snippet of the scene because Drax is still there. Drax is in that same scene, and so is Spider-Man is right there too. So it's like that's the part where I went, it's happening.
Hold on, just one question, man, like, did they do anything with Thor? Because you know rumor is that Thor makes a new weapon in this. So
no, they, well, I'll say this,
that's the rumor
they
anyway.
They show Thor, they don't show anything about that because they're not going to ruin that. But if you look, I mean, you're not going to watch it, but for those who are wondering, if you look at a shot where Thor's raising his arm and he's summoning the lightning. Now, granted, in Thor Ragnarok, this could be a red herring. He can control the lightning through his body. Right. You know, he masters that of power. But if you look how he's standing, and they could easily have CGI'd it out, it could be
but they
that
did with Thor's eye from the last fucking Ragnarok.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like he's holding something there because of the way his hands are. But they don't show the hammer. They don't, or what would be perceived to be a hammer or an axe.
All right.
It doesn't, you can't see what it is, but like this is just me speculating that the way he's standing, because like it looks like he's holding something, but it could be nothing. But it's like that scene is like right before he does that, there's like Rocket and Teen Groot. They're like looking at him in awe. I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking happening. Like the movie is purposely putting like people who have never met together together. Like that's what I'm loving about this so far. You know, because like I've seen Tony, I've seen Iron Man and Captain America meet each other, and even Ant-Man, you know, fight some of the other Avengers. But like seeing like Doctor Strange with Spider-Man and all this other stuff is like, it's happening. Like it's a real, and it's less than 6 weeks away. I think 6 weeks.
Yeah, not even. It's gonna come out the end of the April. So, yeah, about
five weeks. We are.
So it's about a month. There we go.
Yeah, about a month. We are at DEF CON 5, people.
Okay. It's Michael Scott from The Office. Fuck, it's happening! Fuck! Fuck!
Everybody panic! Nobody panic! It's happening! Ryan, I've rambled. What else do you have to add to this rambling?
I love that. First of all, I'm a huge fan of the Ebony Maw, so I'm excited to see him getting some shine on this one, even though it looks like it's at the... he looks like it's at the expense of one Dr. Stephen Strange, but we'll see how that plays out. But I'm so excited for that. And I was really excited because I thought there was a rumor going around, not a rumor so much, but that Peter Dinklage is an undisclosed role, and I really thought he was going to be the Ebony Maw, which has since been disproven, which I'm infinitely sad about. But I'm excited to see who he'll be playing because he's an awesome character. We threw around some Celestial names before the show started, so that's always a possibility. But, I mean, on top of that, I mean, just the Black Order in general, all Proxima Midnight, Corvus Glaive, you know, all those guys look incredible, and I'm so glad to see them. And also, despite Kevin Feige having gone on the record saying that Loki may turn bad again, it doesn't appear as though anything that he does in the presence of Thanos looks like it's willingly.
Yeah, it seems like he's scared shitless.
Yeah, it looks like he's surrounded on all sides by the fucking Black Order.
By the way. Thanos has thick-ass hands.
Ooh, these hands, my man. They're
really?
Going to catch these
you're
hands.
You're just seeing that?
Well, when you... Okay, I'm going to spoil a scene for you. There's a scene where Thanos has Thor... He is grabbing Thor by his fucking head.
Yeah.
And you just see how fucking massive they are.
Haven't you ever seen him to scale in the comics? Thanos there's is a, fucking
it's
huge.
A difference when you see it in a fucking movie, man.
Okay.
There's the scene as well, and since we're just basically, I'm just gonna go fucking all in. Sorry, Taser. there's a scene where Cap is throwing down with Thanos, and he catches Thanos' hand and is trying to hold it back, and he's literally got like his hand around two of his fingers, and it's like, what the shit, man? Jesus.
But I mean,
Thanos is like, how the fuck are you stopping me?
Yeah, man. I mean, it looks... I'm so ready for this fucking movie, even though I know it's probably going to mean the death of Chris Evans as Captain America, which I am not emotionally prepared for one bit.
By the way, shout-outs... Fucking awesome way to shout-out to Infinity Gauntlet at the beginning of the trailer where Gamora says if he gets all six Infinity Stones, he can wipe up half the universe with a snap of a finger. I'm like, please fucking do that. Please fucking do that.
I read an article, and it sounds like they actually are going to do something like that.
Well, yeah, because they kind of changed his motivation around where it's now he's trying to cull the universe in order to prevent, like, chaos from breaking out or whatever. He's not so much...
Oh, he's not a nihilist? Really?
Not so much. I mean, look, I don't think... No, Taser. Hear me out, brother. All right? Be gentle.
Rage! Okay.
It doesn't appear as though that's it, but I'm getting the sense they may swerve at some point and just do the full-on death thing. But yeah, initially, Gamora presents his backstory as though he is trying to prevent, like, just basically cull the universe for the sake of the universe, like, itself. Like, he fashions himself, you know, just trying to bring order to the chaos or whatever. But I don't think that'll be his final motivation. I honestly don't think so. I'm guaranteeing.
Let me ask you this, Brian.
Yeah.
Who do you think else was talking in that trailer? Because there's a moment when a voiceover happens and goes, when I'm done, half of humanity will exist. And then I thought, oh, that's Thanos. But then the second another line of dialogue happens and like fucking Star-Lord is hopping on Doctor Strange's magic teleportation things. Mm. It's another it's fucking happening kind of shit. Like then Thanos speaks and it's like, wait a minute, that wasn't Thanos.
Yeah, I honestly, I couldn't. I mean, my gut instinct says this might be one of the Black Order, maybe Cull Obsidian or fucking Corvus Glaive.
It was definitely a dude. That's why I thought it was Peter Dinklage, and I thought it was Ebony Maw talking.
I mean, it could be. It could. I honestly, there's so much trickery in these trailers. Like we just discussed a few minutes ago, the fact that they basically kept that Thor loses an eye from the entire movie-going audience until people sat down and saw Ragnarok and they were like, "Oh, they hid that from us." So whether or not they, yeah. But oh, and I will say that I don't know about all of that, but I will say again, one of the favorite exchanges was the very end one. You know the one I'm talking about with Doctor Strange and
Oh,
Spider-Man.
yeah. Yeah. I'm
Hi, I'm
Peter,
Peter
though.
Parker, Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our made up names. Okay, then I am Spider-Man.
And
And
then it's sort of like,
it looks like he's like that can the again, the thing in the office where he looks in the camera and he's like, but I mean, I am ready for this movie. I've been ready for this movie, and Jesus Christ, it needs to be here already because that Siege of Wakanda looks impressive. I mean, whoo, yeah, boy. Let me tell you what. But yeah, also, I'm looking forward to seeing the White Wolf. Woo! I feel like it should be accompanied by some air guitar in the background, like 80s guitar, like White Wolf, White
And
Wolf.
I'll say this to end it before we go. This to me, I mean, granted, compared to the first Avengers trailer, in terms of finales, the same kind of goosebumps I got is when the first Lord of the Rings trailer for Return of the King came out, when it was like showing all the armies and massing, like this is it. I mean, granted, there's one more movie after this, but for the most part, this is fucking it. Also, they're really wanting to toy with our emotions. Like, you see Iron Man fucked up. You see a lot of people fucked up in this movie, man.
Vision is pretty fucked up, and Scarlet Witch 2, and it's just everybody's fucked up in this one. I love that someone did a smash cut of Chris Evans screaming and fucking Doctor Strange screaming and Vision screaming and Thor screaming, and everyone's like, Infinity War, a synopsis, just everybody screaming.
Screaming.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle it, but
Yeah.
oh, but I'm sure we've talked about it a bit here and there. We never really made it a concentrated topic. Deathpool, or the Deadpool rather. Who we put in the Deadpool for this series, for the
Oh, Cap's
two-parter?
definitely dead.
Cap's
Tony's dead.
definitely dead. Yeah.
Cap's dead. Tony may or may not be dead.
I'm
I'm pretty
betting.
much, pretty much Thor, Cap, and Iron Man are all on death row, in my
I
opinion.
think Thor will survive. I think they're gonna take out at least one of the Guardians. My money's on Drax the Destroyer. I bet they kill him.
Okay. All right. You know what? I don't think Thor is a
I'm
danger.
pretty sure Black Widow's gonna die too. I'm pretty sure she's gonna die.
Really?
Guys, hold on, hold on, hold on,
Yeah.
hold on.
Okay.
Fucking Pamela, the recording system I was using stopped working right now.
Okay. When did it cut off? Do you remember?
Just right when you finished talking, okay,
Oh.
it's recording again.
Okay.
So.
Right. So as far I'm pretty sure Black Widow's gonna kick the bucket. I would put good money on her.
They're giving her a movie though, so kind of hard to.
What, Red Sparrow?
Doesn't mean it has to be her. It could be Yelena Belova. You never know.
They're not gonna do that, Brian.
I mean, she's already in the blonde wig. They might as well just like change the character's name and be like, "Hey, nothing happened, right?" Yeah, no.
What about
no,
Hawkeye?
but
Because I think everybody's thinking that.
Well,
Oh,
Hawkeye wasn't even in the
can
trailer.
I just say
That's
A
another
Train's
reason why.
funniest fucking thing? There was an article that was shared where it said Hawkeye has a quote unquote special role in the film, and A Train, our resident A Train, said, "Is it dying? I'm pretty sure it's gonna be dying." Like, I really don't want old man Hawkeye to die. I love him so much. He's lived
Well,
through all this crazy bullshit, and he's still alive. Like,
to be fair, he should have died in Age of Ultron, to be fair.
he definitely should not die at any point. I think he's one of the best Avengers characters, and he should stick around forever. Personally, I think he should be the one to rise up and lead the Avengers in the event of Cap and Tony's untimely deaths. Yeah, that's
Hi-yo!
it. I said it. I said it. That's my hot take. Blow! You all get a taste of the bitch pudding. I'm just kidding. But if Hawkeye dies, I riot. So just throwing it out there.
All right, well, let's move on. I think that's enough said about the Infinity War trailer. Let's go into our individual reviews. To continue the theme of Infinity, I'm reviewing Marvel's latest event? Question mark. So yeah, this is Infinity Countdown number one. Apparently, this was spun off from the Guardians of the Galaxy series from last year. It's actually canceled now. There's actually not a Guardians of the Galaxy book on the stands right now, which is
good.
Kind of weird. So this is basically sort of catching up with the Infinity Stones. This doesn't feature any of the Avengers. We have the Guardians of the Galaxy plus some of the Chitauri plus Nova. And okay, if any of you Marvel fans are listening, because you know I call myself a dedicated Ant-Man fan, but after his book got canceled, he kind of stopped showing up anywhere. He's in this book. How the fuck did he get up here? What's wrong with Cassie? What did he do? So basically, this is sort of setting this, like, kind of, it's weird because it's number one, but I felt like I walked into a story already in progress. Like, I got the gist of it. I didn't feel lost. I was just more confused about certain minor things. But, like, you have the Guardians of the Galaxy minus Drax fighting the Celestial Gardener and this giant three kaiju for some reason. Doesn't really explain that. Then you have Drax, along with a couple members of the Nova Corps, fighting off these, Telenar, the leader of the Raptors, basically. They look like Starhawks, actually. Or no, what was the fucking character from the 90s? Razorhawk?
No, Starhawk.
Starhawk, no. Yeah, they look like...
Starhawk?
Not Starhawk, Darkhawk. It's something.
Darkhawk.
Darkhawk. Yeah, they look like Darkhawk to me a little bit. Mm. Yeah, a little bit. I could be wrong, though. But yeah, you have the Nova Corps with Drax fighting off because... these people are trying to get the Infinity Power Stone, which is no longer a fucking stone. It's a mountain. Like, it's a whole fucking mountain, which is like, how? But I'm rolling with it. And it's a lot of weird nonsense that I struggle to keep up with. Groot gets purified by the Celestial Gardener. And then, well, Groot purifies the Celestial Gardener. Then the Gardener purifies Groot. And, like, Groot talks now. Like, Groot, like, does full-on sentences, and I had to imagine Vin Diesel's voice coming out of this, because it's the only way I could tolerate it. Yeah, I don't... It's weird to categorize this. Like, it feels like an event, but it's not an event. It's weird. It's,
yeah, they're not treating it like one. Like, even I, like, I asked my local comics guy the other day about the Infinity Stones referencing the movie, and... he started talking about this event. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, what event? What's going on?
See, this sounds like something that Marvel is doing, and if it sticks and people sign on to it, then yay, we already had this in place, and if it doesn't take off, then they can deny it. You know, it's like one of those, yeah, it was a thing and it didn't work, so just ignore it. We still got your money. You know what I mean? It's them, you know, eating their cake and wanting to have it too. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yeah. I'm reading because it seemed fun. The art by Aaron Cooter was really, really clean. Like, I really liked the art. That's probably my favorite part about it. Also, there's a little segment at the end where, because if you didn't read Infinity Countdown Prime number one, you wouldn't know that Logan has an Infinity Stone. Although I think we knew about that from the Marvel Legacy one shot in November. So that's not new. Logan kind of just drops the fucking space stone in a bathroom urinal, like just leaves it there for Natasha to find it, and he goes, "Take care of this."
It's Natasha's back now too, by the way, guys. Just so you know,
I'm pretty sure it's been announced she's been back.
Yeah, it was just in the most recent Tales of Suspense issue with Hawkeye and Winter Soldier. So.
Okay, yeah, so she's back. It was 3 out of 5. It was, I mean, the art was really good. I'm not, like, it just feels weird, and I felt like I missed something before this, and I know I missed something. It was Guardians of the Galaxy, and I felt like they could have made this number one a little bit more, like, introductory friendly, but I rolled with it at the end of the day, so nothing more I can do. Taser.
Yes?
Take us down the world of the Dead Souls with New Mutants number one, New Mutants Dead Souls.
I get to deal with zombies. And I actually, I give them a bit of a nod to this. They actually mention The Walking Dead, both the TV show and the comic, was Ryan and I think what was it, fucking Strong Guy, and she's like, you know that comic, and it's like, no, you mean the TV show? There was a TV show? It was some weird shit that went on like that. I was like, oh, tip of the hat, you know, not bad. I didn't know that this was I didn't even know this book was coming out, to be perfectly honest. But you know, New Mutants. Yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for it. So, you know, when I saw it pop up, I said, okay.
Don't be ashamed. You're not a sucker for many things, but, you know.
Thank you for stepping up and covering me there, because I was about to say something that would have gotten me in trouble with Lynn. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
yeah, apparently Ileana, Boom Boom, Richter, Strong Guy. I don't know why I keep
saying Strong Guy.
He's fucking Guido, but Strong Guy.
Oh my god.
And what, fucking Wolfsbane? They Ronnie! Work for
Rain, where the fuck you pronounce her name?
Yeah, I think it's Rain, really, something like that. They work for Karma, and she is like the CEO or junior CEO or whatever for this Hachi Corporation, and they had set up shop here somewhere down south in America where there was like a heavy flood. And, you know, they were providing, you know, assistance and housing and whatever. And something happened, and it caused most of the people there to die. So the corporation got in touch with her. She got in touch with these guys. They go down there. And it's kind of like, you know, kind of like an everyday kind of, we're just going to stroll up in here and see what's what. So they do some investigating. People start flipping out because it's scary looking people. They don't do the mutie thing, which I thought was interesting, but you know, they just kind of go strange looking people. And the zombies, it's zombies. And they, you know, do a little digging. Ileana uses her powers, come to find out that one of the people who had died had a ring that one of the Hachi executives liked, and he took it, and her soul wasn't happy about it, so what she did was she brought the dead back to life because she was upset that she had a ring stolen.
That's so Ileana.
Yeah, and you know, it as an excuse for a story, I gotta be honest, I'm just kind of sitting here like, what, really? That's it? A ring? Get the fuck out! You know, I'm actually left very unsatisfied with this story. You know, it's pedestrian. And the other half of it, you know, the other half of the book just goes into a little bit more about, you know, their relationship with Karma. And Karma actually takes on, you know, kind of the role of businesswoman here, which I'm not too familiar with in regards to her.
You mean like Roberto Di Costa, the actual New Mutant who's playing that role up in a different book?
Well, no, that's him. But, I mean, he came from that. I mean, his father was a big businessman. But, you know, Karma, not so much. But here, you know, it's like, you know, respect me. I have authority and I'm running a business and blah, 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 blah. I'm empowered now. Yeah. Which, okay, fine and dandy. You know, I'm not trying to take nothing away from her. I'm just not used to seeing her, you know, in this position and acting this way. Because she talks down to them. You know, I'm kind of like, you know that there's like three of them here that could take you out lickety-split, but okay, whatever. The other story, like I said, is them dealing with her and then coming to find out that there's there's some stories about an alone man who is causing problems, and you know, part of that story has a bunch of kids beating up on this one kid, and they keep calling him mutant. And he's like, I'm not a mutant. I'm not a mutant. Well, prove it to us. How do I prove to you that I'm not a mutant? You can go see the alone man. And you see them walk into the woods, and there's a cabin there, and it's lit up with lights. And, you know, kind of, I guess, strange things. you know, you guys that watch that Netflix show, you know, it's
like, Stranger Things.
Thank you, Stranger Things. And ooh, it's spooky. And I'm just, and it literally ends right there with them staring at the cabin with like a bunch of plastic baby dolls that are like all bunched up in a pile with like a head on one thing, and you know, just looking all weird. And that's it. I mean, that's the end of it. And I'm, huh? Both stories are just kind of okay. It seems like something of a, I don't know, like a anthology, you know, setup, you know, just like little tidbits, you know, involving these characters and some shit that they get involved with here. And it doesn't feel like, you know, it's like we came in like kind of the middle, or at least after the first act or something. And I, you know, I feel kind of out of place. It's not awful, but it's not great. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I could actually recommend this book. Not unless you're a New Mutants fan, or you're a fan of that doesn't even work. Not unless you're a New Mutants fan. I'll just lay it out there like that. You know, classic characters that they don't use too often. If you dig that, then maybe you might like this. Other than that, I'd stay away from it. So, so I can, you know, do this properly. This book was done by, who is it? Rosenberg, Gorham, and Garland. Whoever the fuck they are. So, yeah. New Mutants, Dead Souls, number one. I guess I'll give it a 2 out of 5 Warriors. I don't know. Maybe if it's collected, this might be a better read, but even then, I'm not too sure. There we go.
All right, Brian, close us out with some Marvel 2-in-1 number 4.
Marvel 2-in-1. Probably still their most consistent, like, just one of the best titles I got going on right now. It's super fun. So in this one, Ben and Johnny leaping into the multiverse, finally trying to find Reed and Sue. They team up with a scientist who Hercules hooked them up with in the last issue, named Rachna. Don't know really what her game is yet, but she clearly has motivations of her own. And this basically is... Then they jump to a universe where they trace the energy of Reed Richards to. They don't find their Reed Richards, but instead they find an entirely different, an entirely different Reed in an entirely different universe. And this one is basically, there was no superhuman civil war. All the human superhumans were under S.H.I.E.L.D. That happened. They all just co-signed working with S.H.I.E.L.D. And... they didn't discover Secret Invasion until much, much later in the game. The Skrulls managed to replace about 1 million people before they actually caught on to the whole conspiracy theory. So when Johnny and Ben land there, they're confronted by Wolverine and She-Hulk working on behalf of S.H.I.E.L.D. You'll also note they're two characters who have taken up Fantastic Four positions beforehand. And they believe them to be Skrulls, and they try to take them out. And there's a great scene where Wolverine actually stabs Johnny, and he stops, and he's like, huh, so he's not bleeding green. I think they might actually be real people. And before he can finish the sentence, Ben Grimm fucking knocks him across New York City, which is a solid right hook, just completely fucking knocks Wolverine across the city. It's fantastic. And that's after he nails Jen with a car, so they're clearly not here to play anymore. But they go and they track down Reed. And this Reed is a universe-hopping Reed, but he's not their universe-hopping Reed. He's native to this world. But what happened in this world is that when Galactus first came, first things first is that Ben Grimm tried to take on the Ben Grimm of that universe, tried to take on Galactus head on. He got incinerated in an instant, which was bad. Reed and Sue then tried to come up with a way to defeat Galactus. Nothing worked. But then Dr. Doom emerged, and he actually managed to defeat him using, quote, a psionic trick from an alien race named the Ovoids, or the Ovids, or something like that.
Ovoid sounds about right, but oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, Chip Zdarsky's making a deep, deep callback with the Marvel lore here. I didn't even know who that was. I had to look that up after the fact and be like, oh, okay, interesting. So he manages to somehow merge himself with Galactus and takes over Galactus. And Galactus, Doom, as Galactus, swears he'll never threaten Earth the way Galactus did, and he leaves. But this kind of broke the Fantastic Four. It's revealed that Susan left Reed not long after that incident occurred. And they don't say what happened to Johnny, but you can kind of piece together what happened on your own. Basically, by sheer...
He got high and did some drugs.
No. Even better than that. And I'll just say this. You remember Secret Wars? What happened to the Fantastic Four in those books?
Johnny like the Sun or something?
The original, what's
his name? The new one, the one written by Hickman before he made his grand exit. Oh, okay. And
okay, because from now on, we're calling that Secret Wars with a Z. So that's how we know it's the new Secret Wars.
Oh my gosh, Secret Wars Z. Yeah. Okay. Cool. But yeah. So this event kind of broke the Fantastic Four, you know. And Johnny is, you can guess he's the son, because what happens at the end of the issue is that they're talking with Hank McCoy, who is working with Reed extensively, and Reed kind of keeps to himself. He's trying to find ways to fix the world and everything and stuff. And he's basically just a shut-in. He doesn't really associate with anybody. He's buried in his work, and he's like, man, you know, he's traumatized, basically. And what we learn is that Doom kept his word. He never threatened Earth, but he, being Doom, turned Galactus, both craving power and energy and stuff. He basically ate everything fucking else in the entire fucking universe. And all you see is the Earth and the Sun surrounded by a big metal ring, supposedly keeping them intact. And you can kind of infer Johnny's probably the Sun in this case. But yeah, so Dr. Doom as Galactus ate fucking everything in the universe except for Earth and the Sun. And this Reed is not their Reed. So Johnny and Ben are kind of like, well, what do we do now? Because they got split up from the doctor who helped bring them to this universe. She's off investigating something else for the time being. Oh, but it looks like next issue is teeing up for a meeting of Dr. Doom, Galactus, and Ben and Johnny. So we'll see how that pans out. But I mean, oh my God, this is just a, you know what? I don't know how else to describe it except by saying this is pure Marvel. It is Marvel at its most sincere state, I think. It's fun. It's got heart. It's humorous. It has family ties. It has deep sci-fi lore, and it calls back to things you wouldn't normally expect. And characterization is spot on. Chip Zdarsky does a fantastic job writing this book. It's just a phenomenal read, and it's Valerio Schiti. I always hesitate to pronounce his name. Yeah, hey. He's a fantastic artist. He does a great job with this series. It's colorful. It's action-packed. He does great. This book is just fucking great, okay? I don't even know how else to say it. If you're not reading this series, you should definitely rectify that as soon as you can. But yeah, I mean, I would give it a 5 out of 5 easy. It's just a fantastic, because now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of the story. It's done with setup, and now we're getting into the actual search for Reed and Sue across the multiverse, and that's promising to have some exciting stuff. If this first issue is any indication as to how this story arc and how other story arcs like it are going to go, you can count me in for the full ride. This has just been a fantastic series. It's incredibly well done, and if you're not reading this, then you're missing out on a immensely enjoyable Marvel series, just in general, but also this is a Fantastic Four book. It's through and through, and it only has 2 of them. So you should definitely
Thankfully, it's not a Fantastic Four stick book.
Yeah, no Fan Four stick here, thankfully.
Well, hold on, question. When they showed, when our Johnny and Ben found out that Doom basically went Dunkin' Donuts on the rest of the universe, did they show him going like, nom, 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 you know, did they do some shit like that, you know, because I think that would be funny.
No, they didn't show that. But they basically showed just a black, dark universe with nothing in it. And granted, we may get to that in the next issue, but that is yet to be seen. But it's my favorite. For my money, though, okay. My favorite scene was Benjamin Grimm just knocking Wolverine is next week. That was fucking, because it comes out of nowhere. Because you're so used to Ben Grimm being like, ah, come on, guy. What are you doing? It's clobbering time? Yeah. He said that when he nailed Jen in the face with a car. He didn't say it because at the point that Wolverine got knocked, he had prior just stabbed Johnny, and Johnny's powers have been in a state of flux, so his powers were failing. Stabs him pretty close to the heart. He freaks out and goes, Johnny! And just boom! Right in the fucking face. Yeah, it was pretty fucking cool. And he just is so pissed. He goes, Reed Richards. Now he screams it. It's such a cool moment because sometimes you forget Benjamin Grimm is a certified badass. But yeah, in this book about the Fantastic
Four. No, I just think idiots like you forget that.
No. Ooh. But I mean, they write him like, hey, come on, guy. What's going on with you? And he's not fighting back. He's talking like, you know, all this other bullshit. And before I forget, there was another cool little moment where Spider-Man is seeing Johnny off on his big adventure and is poking fun at him and stuff. And it's a cool little just camaraderie moment. This book is chock full of just great callbacks and character moments. And it's just fantastic. It's one of the purest books on the Marvel shelf. So go pick it up.
It
You're doing yourself
good
a favor.
Comics.
It is. It would be approved by the Comics Code Authority if this were the case.
Wow.
Yeah. Comics Code approved.
All right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for this show of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Brian, plugger. I know you just finished talking, but go ahead and plug our Facebook stuff.
Hey, yeah, listen, we're on the Facebooks at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. You can like us there. We're an aggregator. But we're not like a shitty review critic aggregator. We actually just aggregate news and other fun stuff about Marvel, so we pull from all sources. So if you want one consistent stream of Marvel news, we're the place to get it. Go like us over there and follow us, and we'll give you everything we got. We're also on the Twitter sphere, which kind of fell off a little bit in the last week, mostly because I've been buried up to my ass end in snow. But, you know, it's all you can do, really. But you can go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Warriors with a Z3PCast. Yeah, look at that. We're calling back to the Secret Wars thing and didn't even have to really do anything about it. But, yeah, like us there, Warriors3PCast. And like I said, we're also on iTunes. You can like, subscribe there. Leave us a review. Rate us if you really want to.
Bri-Bri?
We're also over on the word. What's that?
Bri-Bri? Question?
Yes.
What does aggregate? That A word you said?
Aggregate?
Yeah, what's that mean?
Aggregate means we pull from all sources. So, like, if there's news stories running on comic book resources and superhero hype and comicbook.com and Newsarama,
so
we basically
we
pull
stuff.
From everywhere. No, we aggregate
steal.
It.
Steal.
No, steal. We aggregate it.
Steal.
Rotten Tomatoes does not steal reviews. It aggregates
steal.
Them. We do not... We are providing these pages with the likes. If we were just copying and pasting the stories, it'd be one thing, but we're allowing them the content and the views and the likes and the clicks that they would so desperately seek for. We're merely giving them another outlet.
Steal!
You son of a bitch.
Copy-paste-a!
Hey! Actually, it's called the share button nowadays, so you know. But yeah, you can find us on all the places. We'll usually name check them in the description as well. But yeah, we got that going on. And BT Dubs, I know we're not doing a full review, but I'm still only about 5 episodes into Jessica Jones. It's not bad, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah, that's the thing that exists.
Jessica Jones season 2. Yeah. So
unfortunately,
that's
only I think about half of us will be doing that. So you guys get to tune in at a later date and. You know,
yeah.
If John
we'll
John
probably
ever
just
figures
replace
out how to
review
do it on his
with
own,
it like,
yeah, him,
yeah,
because myself and I don't think, you know, Big Chief Iggy, I don't think we'll be touching that, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah, no, not really. Sorry. Also, I would like to say that, unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond our control, we couldn't feed you guys the last show that Iggy and I did, so. When you hear this one saying everything goes well, you can go back to our page and find the previous show, which was, episode number 712?
Yeah, it's pinned on our Twitter page. You subscribe there. Yeah. I pin the newest episode every time it comes out. So
yeah, unfortunately, blame Facebook for that one. That was all their fault. But we have fun.
I can't believe you guys got that episode title. That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Actually, I smiled when I saw it. I'm like, Damn, he actually nailed me with that one because I couldn't stop laughing. Good one, man. Good one, Ben.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, as always, for listening. I really appreciate that. We will see you all in 2 weeks.
Hopefully with until more then,
stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.
Oh, my God, I can't believe what I saw as I turned on the TV. This evening, I was disgusted by all the injustice.